Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
As I mentioned before, I have gone back into the Garden of Insanity, but there is one thing I do need to critique about Suda51 and Grasshopper Manufacturers.
Wait.
Suda-san, like, who on earth gave the green light to put a 15-wave gauntlet, or even worse, a 25-wave gauntlet? Who the heck decides that about?
Save it for the next segment, Will. Save it for the next segment.
Familiar. I'm pretty sure I heard this rant before, Will.
Yeah. Yeah. And joining us for the first time in a while, our dear leader of the Outer Haven, King Koopa Keith.
What's up, peoples? How is your evening doing?
Not bad. Not bad. I had a sub for dinner. I try and eat healthy every once in a blue moon.
A sub? Was it a big sub or a small sub?
Foot-long. Foot-long Subway sub.
What kind of sub was it?
What kind of sub?
Turkey on wheat bread, American cheese, then lettuce, tomatoes, pickles, onions, black olives, green peppers, and mayo. All
right. Sounds good. Everything with the mayo. You said eating healthy, and you put mayo on it, man.
I got to splurge a little. I'm a demon. I have integrity. You know, you got to splurge a little. All right. Also, Tyler is still out of country, but he should be back next week with hopefully impressions on WarioWare Smooth Moves, which is the game he's been waiting for forever. So, but we will enjoy our night with some very interesting discussions. But of course, get it all started off with what have you been playing? And Keith, since you are our returning guest, why don't you enlighten the people what you have been playing across any and all platforms?
I can't.
Because?
Can't talk. NDAs.
NDA.
Okay.
NDA.
Have you been playing anything not under an NDA?
Aliens Fireteam Elite, which has been my drug of choice the last couple of weeks, because I really enjoy that game. I started also playing Blood Hunt, which is pretty much a vampire-based battle royale game, which is a lot of fun on PC.
Just
really enjoying that.
Good.
And a lot of Forza Horizon 4, because I can't wait for Forza Horizon 5 to get released.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it. I mean, I've been trying to get this office taken care of, so trying to play games, and yeah, that's why this office isn't done yet.
Yeah, he's been posting a lot of pictures in our Discord of like the renovation he's been doing, and I'm actually surprised you've been playing that much given all the work you've been doing, but you know, dedication, I like it.
I need some time to unwind, otherwise I'll go crazy again.
Yeah.
And again, you could just be like Neo, go and plug into the Matrix. Again, have you seen that trailer this morning?
I've seen it like 50 times now. 50 times, looking at all the Easter eggs and whatnot. And I'm like, you know what? I'm so glad it's coming out on HBO Max, because I ain't stepping my foot anywhere near a theater.
Yeah. I was like, am I crazy? We don't use that word here. Yeah, yes, you do. It's
you
on the wall.
You don't use that word, but you use triggered. Like, you use triggered, but you can't say crazy. Gotcha. Yeah. You know what's interesting about that real quick?
Go ahead.
That is the first time we've ever heard his name. His name, they called him Thomas. You've never heard that name in any of the Matrix at all. It's always been Neo.
No. What about the first one?
Nope. I don't remember it. I can go back and watch it.
Yeah, because I know because obviously his name was, I think he named it, he was called that once by Agent Smith in the interrogation scene, because he was saying, your real name is Thomas Anderson. And
I gotta go back and watch that.
Yeah, I think that's it. But he obviously, they usually called him Mr. Anderson when not calling him Neo, so that you don't remember Thomas. But yeah, I don't know how to feel about that trailer, because, and yes, I know we're a Nintendo podcast, deal with it.
Morpheus.
Yeah, I mean, well, that
yeah,
honestly,
really
that that
that's
tick
really
that kind
me.
That ticked me off. All right, it's lazy. You could have made a new character. You could have made a character that was Morpheus esque, and you say, oh well, they just couldn't get Lawrence Fishburne, so they got, how do you say his name? I know him as Black Manta. So
but
him.
That's the thing. Lawrence Fishburne said they never approached him.
Yeah, which makes it even lazier, because it's like, why get the old Morpheus when you can have a younger Morpheus? Like, but that kind of defeats the purpose, don't you think? And so, like, but on one hand, I think there will be things that they could do better in the fourth movie because of technological advances and like CGI advances. I think that goes without saying, but I don't know. And I know it's only one trailer, and we shouldn't judge by that. And I'm the guy who preaches, you know, just go watch the movie, make your own opinions. But you know, when you're looking at this after so long of, you know, teasing, and you just don't know what to make of it, it kind of makes you wary to even go see the movie. So I don't know. We'll see. Well,
I'll be watching it because I am a huge fan of the Matrix. I even played that crappy Matrix Online
MMO. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh God.
And of course, there's the game spin-offs as well. Don't forget about those.
The Pathfinder 1 was actually pretty decent, though. I enjoyed that game.
I'm just waiting for John Wick 4. I'm just saying, like that's the true Keanu movie.
John Wick 4 and John Wick 5. Yep.
No, that's not the true Keanu. It's Bill and Ted. That's the true Keanu.
Oh no!
Whoa!
Their last movie was garbage. I'm sorry.
Ouch. Ouch. All right. As for me, I have been continuing my journey into Great Ace Attorney Chronicles 2, and it's still really good. I'm on the fourth case right now, which is incredibly long. And one thing that I appreciate about the Ace Attorney series is that they're not afraid to shy away from somewhat dark subject matter when the need arises. Like they've talked about, you know, matricide, and in the original games, the Fae clan were really open about the fact that they try and kill each other a lot. So that was a thing. And then of course the whole Dahlia Hawthorne storyline was incredibly dark. But we actually just got to a point in the case where a character was portraying someone else because of job loss, and he couldn't confess to his wife that he lost his job 10 years previous. And then we find out that after he lost his job, he tried to commit suicide, and he actually blocked out the memory of it because it was too painful. And the way that they showed this visually without getting graphic was actually incredibly compelling. And it's just, and again, this is what I love about this series, because they aren't afraid to tell these stories of, you know, these people, and it as a writer, that really gets me, because like I want to write stories like that deep and compelling. So it's really nice, and I hope to maybe be done with the game by this week, and not killing the DLC, of course. Hopefully I'll have my review up after that, but very much enjoying that. And then Tempest Trials of Fire Emblem Heroes.
Oh, the revival. Yeah, the revival.
Yeah. I'm usually very good about playing the Tempest Trials and like putting in an hour every day to play it so I can get to the 50,000. Then last night it was like 1:15 a.m. and I was about to go to bed, and I'm like, did I forget something today? And I looked at my phone and I go, oh crap, I forgot Tempest Trials. So I rapid fired 3 rounds in like 15 minutes just so I could get like close to 5,000 points to get to the next tier. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll just play the rest tomorrow. And I did. So.
and just to briefly talk about it, the new Tempest Trials are Fire and Ice and number 3, part 3 now.
Yeah.
And yeah, they actually saw off Moosefell.
Yes. Moosefell. That was actually very interesting. So,
and his specials, the fact that basically knows a fallen Edelgar, basically that the deep wounds debuff of any specials cannot heal them for that one turn. It's like, ooh, that's actually pretty.
Yeah, I hate facing him. I really do. Like, I have a Fjorm. Ironically, I use Fjorm because she's really good. But, like, she could do a lot of damage against him, but, like, none of my other units can. And I have some really powerful units, including the Pirate Nasala, because he can do a back-to-back attack if he's not next to anybody. And so, it's just like, why can't I do more damage to you? And then then all of a sudden, oh, I can, but now I can't. Like, Micaiah, for whatever reason, she can, like, kill him in 2 shots. It's like, so thankfully she's on my second team, but I hate using her because reasons. So, but yeah, I'm not going to be mad when this one's over, just because I hate fighting Moosefell. It sucks.
And yeah, like right now we're actually approaching soon, probably a new calendar event coming up soon, so yeah, just like just waiting for the Fire Emblem Twitter handle right now just to update, so we're definitely gonna get a new event calendar soon enough.
Good, because like I knew, because of the Tempest Trials, I had to get one of those new characters, so I did a summon run even though I usually didn't, and thankfully I got Larcy within I think 50 orbs, I think. So I was actually grateful, because I would have just gone for the Tempest Trials character, but that was a healer, and not Nanya? Nana? Nana?
Something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. So like, obviously she wouldn't have been much of a use to me, because I'm very much an offensive... I'm very offensive, Will. I'm so dang offensive. But that's why I'm the host. So like I had to get I wanted them. Thankfully I got Larcy, who actually is really powerful. She's like my Brave Ike level of strong. It's crazy. Minus the healing ability, of course. So I'm happy to use her, but even against Moose, she does nothing against Moosefell. Like nothing.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah. Even with like also like during my time as well, like before the legendary legendary Micaiah, I actually go and match because I actually had some pretty bad luck. Like I actually reached up to 12% pity rate, and and so for all that entire time, I managed to get 2 fallen Edelgards. Well, the themselves are pretty good, but still I couldn't get like any the legendary Micaiah or I got one more Ashnera. But yeah, even with Fallen Edelgard, fighting against Moosefell is actually pretty hard, just because it knows that a healing ability, it just stinks. Yeah.
All right, Will, how about you? What have you been playing?
What's really there to say? I'm continuing in the Garden of Madness of No More Heroes 3, and yeah, like I'm almost at the end of it because right now what I'm just basically doing is basically getting double S rank on the Hearts of Cote on all defense missions and side quests. And odd jobs, and yeah, like if it's a 2 or 4 waves, 5 waves, good. But dang it, Suda, damn it, Grasshopper Studios, why are you gonna put in 15 wave defense gauntlets, or even worse, a 25 wave defense gauntlet? It's like, and there's this like one enemy that's like that's basically takes pot shots, snipes you up from across the map. It's like, and like it's just. Like, granted, the game itself is fun, but at the same time, there's also so many things that, like, those iframes, those invincibility frames, those things are so valuable. It's, like, unbelievable. So, like, there will be some times when my hand was actually starting to cramp, I had to, like, take a break just because of trying to, like, achieve that, like, low or no damage run for these defense waves to get that double S rank, so... Again, but story-wise, I love it. Again, finish up the third to final boss, which is that RPG battle, which actually can attack the command box, which, again, nice touch, Suda, nice touch. But, yeah, there'd be some things, like, again, that 15-wave gauntlet, that 25-wave gauntlet, like, who thought that was a good idea? Suda! Like, what the heck? But I digress. But I'm still enjoying the game. I'm currently still progressing in my review right now. So, but I still love the game. But definitely, there's some areas of criticism that I will definitely address that line. And of course, next week with Fire Emblem Heroes, and actually gonna slowly making my way back into Judgment because later on in the month we're gonna get Lost Judgment, which will be coming up, I believe, in the end of the month. So just preparing my deck. Myself back into the spinoff of Yakuza once again. So overall, fairly good amount of games to say at least.
All right. And so with that, we head into the news, and there's actually been an interesting set of pieces to talk about. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, there has been so much gosh dang Pokemon news this week. I swear. And there's going to be more because tomorrow is the launch of Pokemon Master Journeys on Netflix, which is the continuation of Pokemon Journeys. So there's that. And then there was Pokemon Evolutions, which had its first episode today, which we'll talk about in a sec. Then there was a rumor going around that there's going to be a new Pokemon movie from Netflix, a live-action movie that may or may not connect to the main live-action series they're developing. And then there is Pokemon Oreos coming out, which you can pre-order now. There's Pokemon Krispy Kremes you can get now, if you want to. There's a Pokemon gaming chair that apparently is only coming out in Taiwan.
Oh my god, are you serious?
I'm serious.
I need to see this chair.
I'll send you the link. I'll send you the link. But like, that was the thing. They're saying like, oh, there's a new Pokemon chair coming out, but... I'm like, what's the but? And then I go... It's like a fully decked out. There's a Pikachu one. There's a Jigglypuff one. And they said, oh, it's only coming out in Taiwan. And I'm like, why are you showing me this? Like,
is it from Nintendo?
I actually don't know. I didn't look into that much into it. Here you go. I'll send it. I'll put the link in our chat on TS. So that was a stupid link. Hold on. Sorry.
I found it.
Okay.
Oh my god.
But like they're adorable. I was like, I totally take that Pikachu chair, and I need a new PC chair. Mine's broken. But, and my sister was supposed to give me one, but then she's like, oh, maybe we're not going to give her an event after all. Like, why'd you tell me I could have it? Anyway, so, but they say like, oh, we're only coming out in Taiwan. Then why are you advertising this? Like, why? It doesn't even make sense why it's only coming out in Taiwan.
That Pikachu chair looks pretty decent. I like it.
I know! And you can't tell me that there aren't a bunch of gamer girl. Oh, that sounds mean. There aren't a lot of Pokemon fans in, you know, the U.S. or Japan that wouldn't want that Jigglypuff chair. You cannot tell me that. Like, come on. So, like, why? Why only Taiwan? I don't get it. So, Keith, I demand one of these chairs from Taiwan. Make it happen.
I can't even tell who makes the chair.
It's true.
It doesn't say who makes it. It just says, hey, there's a chair, but it doesn't tell you who makes the chair.
That's a good point.
This is terrible.
Yeah, well, I don't know if there's a link to the chairs. No, I don't think there is. So nope. That's sad. Clearly, eh.
That's fishy as heck. Yep.
Yeah. So whatever. But like, seriously, like, what was with all the Pokemon news? I mean, I get it. It's the Pokemon 25th anniversary, and I'm happy about that. I'm happy as any fan. But like, this is kind of getting a little much. And don't get me wrong, I want those Pokemon Oreos. Okay? Like, I went to the Walmart site to where I could pre-order them, but they would let me pre-order them. They said the pre-orders were open. Like, what the heck?
Right. You can actually get also order them from the main Nabisco Oreos website themselves. So there is a little bit of an issue happening behind the scenes, but we won't go into it, but there has been some issues over there. But
don't tease it, Will. I haven't heard this, so please indulge.
Well, Matt is the one that actually informed me of this, because apparently, like, unfortunately, the company of Nabisco has kind of been treating the workers of the company poorly.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the reason why, like, they're, like, as much as, again, I love my Oreo cookies, but at the same time, I love human rights better. So yeah, there's kind of, like, there's that little detail, unfortunately. But again, well,
also,
welcome to corporate America.
Stuff. I've never, ever, 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 ever seen where you had to pre-order food.
Yeah, right.
This is craziness.
It's
going to go on eBay. They're all going to go on eBay. Every one of them.
Pretty much. eBay. Pretty much.
Welcome to capitalism.
Hey, I managed to order one, and my delivery cost more than the darn cookies. Are you serious?
I mean, it also, like, why not? And I still remember, like, not just connected to food, because I still remember, again, you also posted on Twitter, Boss, regarding to the ice cream Kit Kat in over Japan, and right now they cost about, like, 20, 30 bucks in Amazon right now. So just...
Yeah, but they're still worth it. Oh, they're still worth it.
Whatever you say. All right. But now I want to talk about Pokemon Evolutions. Keith, did you see episode 1?
I did not.
It's okay.
I am sorry.
Will, did you watch it?
I have.
Okay.
Yes.
What were your overall thoughts on it?
Like, for one thing, I'm surprised. Like, one, they actually have a new voice actor for Leon. Before last one was Alejandro Saab, but this time around is Alex Lay, who you probably remember him as Hiro from Astral Chain, if you remember him.
Really? So, I would not have known that.
Yeah, I was like very surprised. Oh, they're changing voice actors. Okay, but yeah, just seeing the entire thing, like, obviously the artwork is like, okay, and basically how it opens with good old jolly old England with the Ferris wheel and Big Ben and all that, like, it's clearly England. And like, seeing Leon just kind of feeling a little bit out of it, just because the avatar, which also voiced by Alex Lay, who is the one who took out Eternatus instead of Leon, so he's kind of feeling a little bit bummed out with the help of a Hop. But yeah, just seeing the animation of it all, just how it's like so—it's so much budget. I mean, this thing could easily be a full-fledged film, and like the way it just presents it, like with Twilight Wings, is just like, it's so good. It's really good. I'm impressed. And also, I'm just very happy as well at the Pokemon trainer. He chose Sabo as his beginner Pokemon. So yes, go Sabo gang. Woo! But yeah, seeing that again and that battle against Eternatus at that end of it all is like, dang, this is good. This is good stuff. This quality. So yeah, again, shows how the Pokemon company really, when they are given enough budget, they can actually make some pretty darn good stuff. So yeah, Pokemon Evolution. This is only the first episode right now. So I can't even imagine how it is on the next episode we see, because like there's so much Easter eggs, cameo characters we see from the series is like, what's going to happen? That's what I want to know. And the fact that even the number on the Pokemon Trainer's back shirt is also is the 25, which is a nice little Easter egg for the 25th anniversary. Is like, okay, there's a lot of Easter eggs, but again, seeing Leon actually being a little bit more human and just like, instead of being that whole bombastic champion, is like, again, it shows dimensions. It shows dimensions. So I'm impressed with this first episode so far.
So I was impressed by the visuals. Like you could, like I said, it was very movie quality, and it really, really showed. I liked when they delved into the vulnerability of Leon, because we always see him as, especially in the games, as this unstoppable champion. You know, it's champion time, and you know, with the pose and Charizard and all that. And here we got to see him kind of wavering in his confidence because of his losing. I wish they delved even deeper, though, because like half the episode was basically a recap of the Eternatus fight. And if you've played the game, and even if you've watched Pokemon Journeys, they've shown that. In fact, they've shown it two different ways, one with Ash and one with the player avatar. And so I really didn't need to see it again, because anyone who's done it or watched it or played it, you know how the fight goes. Leon tries to stop it, that he can't. Player and Hop show up, but then they summon Zacian and Zabazenta, and then they save the day. And the title of the episode is called The Champion, and half the episode is not focused on the champion. It's focused on the Eternatus fight. And I found it kind of disappointing, because one thing I loved about Twilight Wings is that they weren't afraid to really delve deep into the characters, like with B and Nessa and the Ghost Kid. You know,
yeah.
And even with Leon, they showed, you know, kind of his wild side, but also his heart-filled side, like when he got lost in the wild area and picked up that one kid. And I wish I loved when they showed the vulnerability of Leon, but then they just went right back to, oh yeah, here's that battle that you've seen before. Let's just show it to you in a new perspective. Like, I feel they could have done better. And this is the first episode. I guess they're going to go backwards. So, you know, they're starting in Galar and ending up at Kanto, because it's 8 episodes, and each episode is one region.
Right.
I felt like they could have... Twilight Wings was beautiful because it showed different stories, and then this one kind of rehashed a familiar one. So I find that a little disappointing. And then it ends right before the battle. So it's like, was it really about the champion if you're focusing on the champion right before he loses?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's not even called the transition of the champion or something like that. And so I felt it could have been a little bit better, even though it was absolutely visually stunning. So I find myself becoming more of a critic. I don't know why. I think it's because it's just the writer in me. I am dissecting things at a level I have never done before. I did it with my Shang-Chi review the other day. I'm doing it as I'm watching Titans and Doom Patrol on HBO Max, and that, like we talked about before, the Matrix trailer. I'm seeing things as a writer, not a fan, and it hurts me, because I'm like, am I being too critical? I mean, am I looking too deep into this?
Well, just remember what the critic says. It stinks. So you got, unfortunately, no. You got how to put it that way. Unfortunately, no. It stinks.
Alright, next up, we have a very interesting story, and it's about the Metroid Prime trilogy, which has obviously been rumored for the Nintendo Switch since, like, year one, but one of the head designers who's actually now working on Metroid Prime 4 delved into what it was like making the actual trilogy games, like putting all three titles together, and he revealed some absolutely stunning stuff, including at one time, there was only 4 people working on the Prime Trilogy, which is not what you would expect from something like this, because, you know, those 3 games were not small, and then they had to bring them together and convert them to the Wii, because all the first 2 were made on the GameCube. And apparently, the biggest thing that they had to work on was scan files. And according to the senior game designer, Mike Wakan, like, that was, like, well over half the work. And the fact that him and like only 3 other people were working on it, and then Nintendo added to it with the work, is insane. He goes, then Nintendo, to tell you the seriousness of Nintendo takes the product with, they had gone through all of our text, all of the scans for all 3 games, and done a complete spreadsheet analysis of how it all fit together with the Metroid Prime universe in its current state, like every word. Then they sent us hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of edits and changes for all the text, just to make sure everything harmonized and worked in the Metroid universe. That's the level of detail they that they put into it, probably 50 to 60% of the work we did on the trilogy was changing those dang scan lines. End quote. Yeah, pretty much. And I know what you're thinking. It's like, well, Nintendo were jerks to add on their workload like that. Well, not exactly. Because apparently, in the making of the original Metroid Prime game, they were doing serious crunch time. Like, you've been hearing all these stories about these companies, like, overworking their people. Well, under the original leadership of Retro, before it was bought up by Nintendo, they were apparently pushing, like, 2 to 3 days straight without break. Quote, at the end of that time, everyone was ready to quit. We were like, we're done. I had 2 job offers from 2 different companies, and to their credit, Nintendo realized what was going on and came in and took over the company and bought it out. They put Michael Kelball in charge. He's a sweetheart, real good. He was head of Nintendo's QA department. He said, guys, give me a few weeks to turn it around, and he did. He restored faith in the leadership and the company. I loved working for Nintendo. End quote. Yeah. And, like, this should be the story we hear all the time. I mean, like, seriously. You hear of major con crunch, and then the higher ups go, no, we're not letting that happen, and we'll fix this. But sadly, we're not. And that makes me feel good about Nintendo fixing this, because they clearly cared. They cared about Retro. It was like, you guys are working yourselves to the bone. That's not how it should go. We'll fix this. So they, you know, we're just going to buy your company, and then we'll fix it for you. See? Money can buy good things at times.
Again, you always hear these like black company stories, sadly, and I mean, like, now, especially now with this current climate of crunch period, be it, like Naughty Dog or even other AAA studios like Ubisoft and elsewhere, and it's just really kind of good to hear that, like, as strict as Nintendo as they may be, again, you of course under the legacy of the late Iwata, he at least they look after their workers, because again, like, a good game cannot come well if the workers are completely stressed. So yeah. like and also I believe you also wrote an article about this as well, Keith, that about the Supergiant Games regarding to Hades. I remember if you did, but yeah, like how that company also pretty much says, like, no, you gotta take some days off, mandatory days off. And again, lo and behold, Hades became the product as it is.
I will toss in there, you know, I work in IT, and once upon a time ago, there was, I can't remember what it was actually called, but pretty much it was, you were mandated, if you worked a certain amount of time, that you had to take some time off just because they know that you would get burnt out, you would get frustrated, your productivity would go down. And it's proven, but yet it seems like more and more companies are just abandoning that what's the word I'm looking for? That ability, because they feel that it's more important to keep people cranking out stuff over and over and over, working them to death. And it shows, their productivity goes down, their morale goes down, they're frustrated, they end up leaving, or worse happens. You know, sometimes people come in with weapons and just go crazy and kill everybody in the company, mm-hmm. which has happened.
Yeah.
People's mental capacity, mental health is a big thing, and these companies just don't understand just how a big of a thing mental health is. I mean, I just went over something, you know, with a couple of family issues, and I took off of work for 2 months because I needed that time. I needed that time down. When I came back to work, the first incident, I couldn't think. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I can't figure out a problem that normally I would solve in minutes. Like, I can't do it. I need some downtime. And then I finally took the downtime. Obviously, something else happened. My mental capacity got worse. So yeah. I was grateful I could take those 2 months off just so I'd get my stuff back in order. But, you know, in the game industry, and I hate saying, you know, I hate that. But in the game industry, it's no different. People need downtime. People need, like, changing things from maybe 5 days a week to 4 days a week. Or maybe cutting down how much time they're devoted to developing stuff or working on stuff. And maybe things will change for the better. I mean, when there's companies out there that do that, they reap the benefits. Supergiant Games, from everything that I know, is a fantastic company to work at. Everybody loves working. And they know the old adage, if it's working, is it really a job?
Yeah.
Right. Oprah.
You know,
yep,
it's
Oprah.
It's crazy.
Yep.
Just when do that.
When I was working at Volition for Saints Row the Third, I was very, like, I had heard all the horror stories about QA. That was my job as a QA tester. And I had heard all the horror stories of QA, including from G4, which was, you know, my favorite station at the time. And they go, oh, you're going to be working like 40 to 50 to 60 hours a week, and it's just hard work, and it's like mindless and everything. And I'm like, do I really want this job? But I had to get it because I needed an internship. And the difference was when I got there, they treated us really, really well. Like, yes, I sometimes had to do, you know, 10-hour days, and sometimes I think I did one 12-hour day, I think. But they said, hey, if you're doing a 10-hour day, here's the hours you could come in. It wasn't like you had to do, like, 8 to midnight. You could come in earlier or later or whatever. But it's like, hey, you can fit to your schedule. Then we had a fully stocked kitchen that we could have. Like, you pay 25 cents, you can get any food you want. And then you had unlimited pop. And then if we were working, like, really late hours, they go, hey, we're going to treat everybody to pizza. What toppings do you want? Or, hey, we're going to go get, you know, burritos. I remember getting burritos one time. And, like, it's those little things that they didn't have to do that. But they did it because they wanted us to feel comfortable. And they said, hey, make sure you take your lunch breaks. Make sure that you, you know, clock out for some time on yourselves. Like, I remember playing D&D with some people because there's like, hey, let's just change up how we do things on lunch. And the higher-ups were all for it. As long as we did our work within the time that was allowed, they didn't mind. And it was the best summer ever. And I lamented not being able to go back to there because of political bullcrap. But, like, they treated us all really well. And when I hear of, like, the bad stories, like Naughty Dog or Blizzard or all of them, I'm like, how is it that, you know, this isn't everywhere? It's not that hard. They're making a product for you, yes, but if you treat them well, the work's going to be better. When you're less stressed, you work better. It's not that hard to figure out.
Yep, so, pretty much it.
Yeah, so I love it. But thank you, Nintendo, for saving Retro. Now, Metroid Prime 4, when exactly?
Right?
Yeah, I would dread it if it doesn't come out.
I would be interesting to see if they actually put in like at least a cameo teaser at that end of Dread, if anything else, just to keep that you say it, if anything else.
Well, I mean, I don't think they can though, because if you recall, the Prime series is like technically part of the origin story.
Right, Samus. It's like the beginning. Dread's
at the end. And Dread's like where we are right now in the present timeline, if you want to call it that. So I don't know if they can, but I would be shocked if after Dread they didn't start dropping at least a teaser for 4, because they've been working on it for a while now, even with the remake or rehaul, overhaul, whatever you want to call it.
Restart.
There you go. So we'll see. We'll see. All right, next up we have a game that somebody in Italy was supposed to be helping talk about today. WarioWare, Get It Together. Yeah, Tyler, get it together, man. So the game comes out tomorrow, and early reviews are already out. And I've seen ones that, you know, praise the game, say it's crazy but fun. Others are saying they like the games but not the characters. So make of that what you will.
Yeah, so from what I've seen other videos so far, like, overall, again, it's the same mini and macro games that you know and love from the series. I mean, also, if I recall correctly, I also seen some gameplay of a full-on, I think, Mario 3 levels as well, like, remake in with Wario characters, if I recall correctly. But it's definitely an interesting game. Again, I'm not too heavily invested in the series, but at least I know, like, again, these crazy macro micro games that, like, again, like, just that's the second reaction time of like, oh, break, like, jump off on this block one time, or like split this paper ribbon in two, like all these different like crazy ideas and different ideas for these crazy games. And especially now you can actually use the cast members in these micro games with their own unique abilities. It's definitely a transition. But then again, it has been a long time since the last WarioWare game, so I don't know how to really think, to say at least. It's definitely a new game, to say.
I've never played the WarioWare franchise. I think I did a demo of it once.
I've never played them, ever.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, and I like minigames. Like, I remember Mario Party. Mario Party 2 and 3 was my jam. I really did love it, but I just really can't get into the micro games thing. It's just, it's not my style. It's not how I like to play games. I want to have a little more meaning in them, and this just doesn't entice me. And yet with Tyler, he's like, oh, no, but this is like so much fun. It's how crazy it is. I'm like, okay, that's fine. It works for you, Tyler. So that's why he's going to be reviewing this for the site once he – and he should have the game by tomorrow and be at least half sometime.
I guess the reason like why it's been so appealing is because, again, it's like a very easy – like a play it for a few minutes and then set it and forget it, if anything else. I mean, it's kind of like – I don't know, and I guess in a sense, like Fall Guys, you can just play in spurts, and after that, you can just do anything else. It's like, it's the perfect bite-sized game that you can play any time as well, which I guess that will also fit very well with the Nintendo Switch system. Just like, okay, play for a little bit, play on your break, yada, 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 and then, okay, move on. Because last I remember, this doesn't really have a full-fledged story. I mean, not that I'm aware of. I know there are some WarioWare games that actually have, like, extended story with Wario and cast. But, so, I don't know, like, it's definitely that whole pick up and play, and then after just set and forget it. So, I think that's probably like, why it's appealing so much.
Yeah. So, again, check it out if you're interested, because, this is actually a game I'm not going to play, but I'm very curious about how it's going to sell. Because Mario, Super Mario Party, when it came out, it was one of the biggest hits on the Switch at the time.
Surprisingly.
Yes. So I'm wondering how many WarioWare fans are out there. So, because we're going to find out really quick. So, because I mean, Nintendo's got this really good streak of million sellers going on, and I would like to think that with, you know, what are they, 85 million? Consoles right now, something like that.
Right now, yeah, there are a good amount of games that are in the millionaire club right now. So yeah, it will be very
interesting. Like with all the consoles, there's got to be some, like at least 1 million of them have to be WarioWare fans, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd be very surprised if WarioWare definitely breaks the million club. Yeah, yeah.
We'll see. All right, next up we have rumors. Yay! Look, before E3, we talked about this. There was so many rumors about, you know, what was going to be shown, what wasn't going to be shown, and much of it was bunk. Like, there was Donkey Kong rumors, there was Zelda. Okay, Zelda was shown, but there were specifics about, you know, when it might release and everything. And then the biggest one was about Fire Emblem. And because there was a rumor going around that said that we were going to get an HD remake/remaster in the styles of Shadows of Valentia of Genealogy of the Holy War, which is one of the biggest Fire Emblem requests at present. And yet, it wasn't at E3, it hasn't been hinted, it hasn't been shadow dropped, revealed, like Big Brain Academy was last week. And now the rumor guy is like, oh, I don't know what's going on. Well, no kidding! He's like, this is why he's a rumor! He's like, he's supposed to be an insider. He's like, I don't know if they just, you know, if they're making it or not now, or if they're just pushing it back. And I was like, then why did you report it? Why did you report it in the first place if you weren't sure? I mean, you said you're the insider, and you said, like, oh, it's going to be a genealogy. Now you're saying it's not? You know, now it might not be? So why did you think it was the first time? This is why I hate these rumors. All right? It was bad enough when it was just everybody guessing Smash Brothers characters that have no chance of being in the game. All right? And now it's just like, oh, yeah, totally. We're going to get a new Fire Emblem game. Oh, it's going to be that remaster of genealogy like you want. Apparently not. All right? So...
It goes to show you again, don't believe the hype machine. Like,
yes.
As much as you want to believe and reach for the stars, don't. Just don't.
Yeah.
You can only set up yourself in disappointment.
Exactly. It's like X-Files. I want to believe. I want to believe, Scully. But
That's a great show. I missed that show.
I've honestly never watched it. Never was.
What?
Well, it was on during like when I was really young, and that was like a really scary show, right? I mean,
no,
like,
no,
wasn't
not particularly. No, not
okay.
Particularly.
Maybe I'm misremembering, but it was on when I was really young, and I don't think my parents would have let me watch it for whatever reason. So, I mean, I know of it, obviously, and you know all the movies that were made, and then the 10th season or whatever that was on Fox, and then it wasn't as good as people think it was. Whatever. So, this is like one of my pet peeves of the gaming industry as a whole is that. I don't mind the occasional rumor because that's like the spice of life. Like, oh, there might be this thing coming out, you know, like with the Pokemon live action movie that Netflix is doing. I was like, okay, then I'll keep my ears out for that. Or like when like with WarioWare, we heard that rumor because of that survey. Oh, are they going to announce a new WarioWare game soon? Like that was fine because, you know, we hadn't really heard of something like that in a while. But then with this, it was like this one guy, Zippo, he was like, yeah, we're going to get Donkey Kong game. We're going to get Fire Emblem game. There's going to be this. There's going to be that. There's going to be the other thing. And like, he had like one rumor, right? And that was Zelda coming out in 2022. And everything else is like, hey, where's this, Zippo? And he was like, I don't know. Then why'd you report it, you moron? Ugh. Ugh. I'm not frustrated.
Yeah. It's just, again, this whole rumor, that's kind of unfortunately, that's going to be how it is. Like, oh, we're going to buzz some clicks. Okay. Like, oh, I heard this thing is going to be coming out. I heard that thing is going to be coming out. I don't know. An F-Zero thing is going to be coming out.
Oh yeah, I heard that.
You will love to believe that, won't you?
Keith is weeping, Will. Look at that. Keith is weeping.
I've given up. I've completely given up.
I know you have. Done. You see what you've done, Nintendo? You've made Keith give up on a franchise that he loves.
So done. I don't care anymore.
Dearly beloved, you're here today to bury Keith's love of F-Zero.
Gone.
It's gone. It's all gone. You monsters, you dang dirty apes. That's a movie reference for those of you who don't get that. Alright, so moving on to more positive news. Positivity. Positive. Shin Megami Tensei 5 trailer. Will, take it away.
Yes, so while it's only a brief trailer, Sega has, Atlas has released a new trailer of the Nahobino, which is basically the Forsaken God. So, like with the previous trailers, you meet this Forsaken God called Aogami, or Blue God, if anything else, wordplay there. And you join up with Aogami, become the Nahobino, and basically see how you are in combat of the Netherworlds. So again, you see in the trailer regarding to the new exclusive attacks as the Nahobino, as well as the new the myriad of demons and angels that you collect. And yeah, just seeing about the new gameplay of it all is just it's just burning hype for me. As well as continue on with releasing the new information of new demons and angels each and every single day until release, that there's also just so much things to excite about. I just really hated that these trailers are only very brief. Like, oh, like, okay, Alice says, like, oh, we gotta release a new trailer coming out tomorrow. Great. And you only realize it's only a freaking minute and 15 seconds. It's like, okay, fine. I mean, it's nice, but I was expecting a bit longer. I mean, way to set up our expectations, Atlas.
Yeah.
But overall, the show is great. Again, we're expecting to hear more in the Shin Megami Tensei 5 news channel sometime later on in the second half of the month, so expect that. But overall, November's starting to look very nice, so I still can't. I can't wait.
Yeah. Have you ever played Shin Megami, Keith?
No, I've always played Persona.
Ah. So will you join our bandwagon of bringing Persona 5 to Switch?
I want Persona 5 to be everywhere. There's no reason Persona should be stuck on one particular platform. I hate that.
Yeah. Ooh, that sounds like a teaser for a main event discussion.
I really hate
foreshadow.
Yeah. All right. Next up, okay, this one is a rumor that I can actually appreciate. All right. There was a French listing of the Nintendo Switch, and it said that on an upcoming date, it would be dropping by about 50 euros, and that date is right before the Nintendo Switch OLED comes out, which, for the record, I completely forgot that was coming out in a month.
I forgot about that too. I was like, oh, that was coming out? Oh,
exactly. So yeah, but the OLED is coming out next month alongside Metroid Prime Dread, and the rumor is that because this French site is highlighting a price cut, that Nintendo might be dropping the price overall, like all over, in that way to make way for the OLED and its slightly increased price. So I will ask you both, do you think that actually will happen? Will Nintendo drop the price for the regular Switch to, I don't know how you want to define it, but make the OLED more appetizing?
Nope. Nintendo has never dropped the price of their platform or their consoles. Nope.
Really?
Yep.
Didn't they not did that for the Wii U, if I recall correctly?
Nope. They made a different version of, remember they made the Wii Lite, or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
They knocked the price off of that.
Right.
But the Wii U stayed the same price. They've never dropped the price of their console.
Yeah.
True. Okay.
It's pretty much going to be this. hey, do you want to buy the regular Nintendo Switch, which is a little bit cheaper, that doesn't have the OLED screen, which might be more appealing for those who don't take the Switch out of the dock, or do you want the OLED for those who like to play the Switch on the go? You have two choices. Either way, we're not giving you a price drop.
Yeah. No. I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I was like, I could see both sides about like why they might think about it, but you're right. Nintendo is rather infamous for not dropping their prices on things.
I mean, look at this. If that was the case, why does the Switch Lite exist?
Good point.
Hmm.
Huh. I don't know.
Should that. Like, if it, like, yeah, you pretty much nailed the head, Keith. That's like, don't expect Nintendo to lower the price, especially with the whole, I think they're also affected with going through the whole chip shortage right now that's happening in the entire world in the industry. So yeah. Maybe they really can't afford that price drop right now. Not especially when they're still making money.
I mean,
with
they
it,
can
so,
afford
yeah.
it. No, if they can afford it, they just don't want to. They don't want to.
Yeah.
I mean, this is Nintendo. They can afford whatever the heck they want. They just don't want to.
True. Yeah.
I will say, though, that if they did do it, I'm actually curious about how that would affect the Switch sales, because just my reading of situation, I feel that I would actually entice people to buy it now just because they're like, oh, they might change their minds and raise the price back up, so we might actually see a big surge of Switch sales. But you're right, they're probably not going to do it because they're like, nah, it still prints money! It prints money!
Yeah. I mean, again, there's zero reason for Nintendo to drop the price of the Switch. I mean, if they want to be good guys, fantastic, but I don't see them doing that just because business thinking, this business perspective, it doesn't make any sense. They're the same chipset. We're selling you the same system minus this one has OLED screen, and we're charging you extra for it. So there are your options right there. This one has a little bit more storage, has a better screen. If you like that, fantastic. Ethernet dock or Ethernet on the dock. If you want that, you'll pay the extra money. If you don't want that, go and pick up the regular Switch. Two different prices out there for you to decide. It's no different than the PlayStation 5 digital and the PlayStation 5 with the disc. You want the disc, you get this one. You want digital, you get this one. We're not going to discount the price of another one just for this one. You're paying $399 for digital because it doesn't have a drive. You're paying an extra $100 because this one has a drive.
Okay.
And more storage.
Okay. See, this is why I really do enjoy having you on the podcast, Keith, because you bring this rather technical side of the conversation that we honestly don't get to talk to you at times. So I really appreciate that.
Well, you are welcome. You should have me on more often.
I invited you last week. You never answered.
I was probably dead.
You were dead? Yeah, I got better.
Remember, I'm married. I'm dead all the time.
Oh, dude. Love low. All right. Okay, now this last story of the news section. I really don't know how to define it.
It's crazy.
We're welcome to the Garden of Insanity crazy, right, Will?
Pretty much.
Because we're going to be talking about PETA. Yes, people eating
Butters.
Hold on. Stop.
PETA,
quote-unquote. You ruined the joke, Will. I was doing a joke and you cut me off. That's mean. Like, wait for the pause.
Is it about PETA bread?
Actually, it's about people eating tasty animals.
Oh, so people not eating people. It's not Solvent Green.
Yeah.
So
I swear, by the way, that I saw that on a truck once. It was a semi-truck. I was driving at night, and it pulled in ahead of me, and on it said PETA. I'm like, oh, it's a PETA truck. And it said, people eating tasty animals. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's not what it stands for. So, but yes, apparently PETA, as in People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, has done a petition to get their mascot into Smash Brothers. We're not making this up. Now,
I wish this was a crazy pose, but unfortunately, apparently, this is a real deal. And one, I didn't realize they had a mascot.
Yeah, that's the thing. We none of us knew they had a mascot.
So, and two, apparently, is their chick, like a little chicken that says "Don't eat meat" or something, with a little I don't know, like a toy gun of some sorts. Is like, what? Huh? That's like. Like it's bad enough that PETA went after Animal Crossing, which they don't harm animals. I mean, the worst thing we actually did is basically stomp on cockroaches, but that's just about it. And you say like, oh, Animal Crossing
does harm to animals, but we're fishing and donating them to a museum. And the fact that it said, oh, like, release them from the museums in captivity of Animal Crossing. But that's the point of a museum, and you caught the animals, and you're making these fake protesters, yada yada, back in the day. It's like, yeah, I wish it was a crazy post, but unfortunately, like, again, PETA being PETA again. And the fact you want to go bring this thing into Smash Brothers. Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck with that. So, I mean, being a little bit more literal. I mean, it's not the craziest thing I've heard. I feel like there's been crazier things, but PETA mascot. I don't see Nintendo going for it. I just don't.
Yeah, yeah. You take that to get a listen to like an animal rights group. Come on. Unfortunately, Nintendo ain't that nice.
Yeah. So yeah, I just don't.
There's
I
nothing
don't
to say, man. There's nothing to say. Just like, yeah, let's move on.
let's move on. So our main event tonight is going to be something a little bit different than what we're usually talking about, because usually we talk about Nintendo exclusively. But today was a PlayStation Presents, and in it they announced some really interesting titles for the PlayStation 5. Yes, we can appreciate other consoles. You're welcome, but this got an interesting conversation between us and Keith about exclusivity, because one of the things that they announced at the PlayStation Presents was a brand new Wolverine title from Insomniac Games, and of course, Spider-Man 2, their sequel to the very big hit from PS4. And the question is, should all games, or at least a very big vast majority of them, be all-encompassing, be on as many platforms as possible, or is exclusivity really the way to differentiate the consoles? And we're going to talk about this in a Nintendo discussion. And Keith, since this is honestly your topic, and I know you have very big feelings about this, how about you lead it off about your feelings on the topic of exclusivity?
So I'm going to show my age here, but I grew up in the days of Sega and Nintendo, and back during those times, most games were released on both platforms. Of course, they had some exclusive titles, but for the majority, most of the games were available on both platforms. And then later on, you know, we had Sony and Xbox join the picture, and for a time things were okay. And then we started noticing that certain games, all of a sudden, that were supposed to be on all platforms, ended up getting stuck on one specific platform. And as the years kept going, we started seeing more and more games being console exclusive, and it kind of upsets me, because I've been that kind of person who's always said that games should be accessible to everybody. Yes, there are first-party games that are made by Nintendo and Microsoft and PlayStation and their first-party companies. Granted, we know that. But we're seeing more and more companies and more, we'll say brands, that are being gobbled up by these companies, and they're stuck on their respective consoles. Now, I get that. That's how the industry is going. That's how companies are now getting people to flock to their brands. Remember back in the day, it was Sega and Sonic was their mascot, or before that was Alex Kidd, and then Nintendo had Mario, and then again Sony came in, Xbox came in, and for a while it was Master Chief on Halo. I think that was the only really mascot they had, and Sony didn't have any mascot. But you get what I'm going at here. It just changed. The picture changed. It changed, and now we've got companies like Microsoft or Xbox gobbling up developers. We've got Sony doing sort of the same thing. And then we got developers who are owned by these companies who all of a sudden have these brands. Obviously, Insomniac is one of the companies I'm talking about where they had access to the Spider-Man franchise or the license for quite some time, because Disney liked what they did. So not only do they have Spider-Man, they have the Spider-Man expansion, and now they have the Spider-Man 2, but also they snag Wolverine, which is great. Fantastic. People have been asking for a new Wolverine game for years. years. But the snag is now, unless you have a PlayStation, you won't be able to play it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a problem. So what happens if this world doesn't recover from this chip shortage, the silicone shortage? This is only being developed for PlayStation 5. And I'm not saying that this is a bad thing. I understand that is the writing on the wall. But again, it is frustrating. And it actually goes in hand-in-hand with article I'm writing about where people come out and say, oh, hey, this company won this won the year. You know, Nintendo won the year. Or PlayStation won the year. Or Microsoft won the year. All because they showed games that you want to play. And that's fantastic. But at the same time, that's a really, can I say asinine way of thinking?
Yeah, asinine.
Because right, it is. Sure, sure. It's basically you are a horse with blinders on. So if I put blinders on you and all you care about is Sony, you're going to miss out on all the great stuff that Microsoft has. You're going to miss out on all the great stuff Nintendo has. And that is a very narrow way of thinking. No, I love the fact that Sony has all these great games. Fantastic. I am not discounting Sony. It is one of the reasons why I own a PlayStation 5. Granted, it's really funny, and I don't know if you know this, Will, but when Microsoft did this, I think last year, and they showed off a lot of games, people were like, oh, but these games aren't coming out to 2022, 2023. But yet, most of these games for PlayStation aren't coming out to 2022, 2023, and not a single person is saying, but they're only coming out 2022, 2023. Not a single person is saying that. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, we love this company, but we hate this company. And that's what I'm getting at. This brand loyalty is ridiculous. It literally has to stop. You saying, hey, this company won this year has to stop. Because at the end of the day, the people who won are the gamers. We're the people who won. We're going to get to play all these amazing games. It doesn't matter what platform it is. You get to play it. Granted, you know, it would be better if Wolverine was accessible on the Switch, on the Xbox platform, and the PlayStation platform, and even the PC platforms. But that isn't the thing. And I get that. But it does irk my nerves. It's frustrating. It's no different than when Street Fighter V went to the PlayStation only and PC. And I was like, wait, Street Fighter has been on every console since it came out. Well, since it came out on Nintendo, and then Sega Genesis, and then it's on PlayStation, Xbox. And all of a sudden, oh, sorry, it's only on PlayStation. And you segmented half your audience by just doing this. It frustrates me. This stuff, it has to stop, but the sad part is it's not going to. This is how the industry is going. This is how companies are going to get gamers. Because again, we don't have mascots anymore. We don't have companies making games that are so freaking great. Well, outside of PlayStation now, that they're showing that people want to flock to this console. I mean, Nintendo has some great games coming out as well.
Yeah, like Nintendo's kind of dominating. I'm just being honest here, especially with Animal Crossing and Zelda.
And Microsoft has some great games that are coming out right now. So it's like, hey guys, you're thinking, saying, okay, Sony won this year, but I'm like, but okay, great. I could be a guy and say, I don't care about any of these games that got announced, but I'd be crazy. And anybody who says they don't care about Wolverine or Spider-Man 2 or Gran Turismo or Knights of the Old Republic or God of War is crazy, because those are some great games. But at the same side of the coin, if you came out to me and said Metro Dread sucks, I'm going to go, first of all, how do you know it sucks when the game's not even out? And two, how dare you hate Metroid?
Yeah.
What is your problem?
Yeah, there you go.
It's no different if somebody would come in and say, well, I don't like Halo. Okay, well, you don't like one of the best shooters in history? That's on you. I don't care. I don't like Forza Horizon. You don't like one of the best racing games of all time? Are you crazy? Okay, well, that's on you.
Yeah.
That's why, I mean, it's not a flex, but that's why I own every gaming console. And a PC. So I can play whatever I want to play when it comes out. Obviously, not everybody has that same ability.
No.
Which is why exclusivity kind of hurts us.
Yeah. For me, for the longest time, I was that kid who could, at best, afford one console in a generation. My first console ever was the SNES, and that was because my babysitter Mona had kids who loved to play it, and then eventually they got bored of it, so they gave it to me and my sister, and I played that thing to death. Then dumb luck led to my mom getting me the N64 for Christmas one year. She won like a $100 gift card to Meijer, and she decided to buy it on me or use it on me. I'm like, I still don't know why she did that. I mean, $100, especially back then, that would have bought a lot of groceries and such. But no, she bought me my N64. I didn't buy my own console until the GameCube, and I had to save a lot of money for that, and then I bought one ever since. But in between that, I was able to get the PlayStation and PlayStation 2. But once the PlayStation 3 came out, I stopped buying Sony stuff because that bloody thing was $600. Like, the Wii was, what was it, like $250, right? And so like yeah. And so I was always more of a Nintendo over Sony guy, and I wasn't gonna spend $600. And of course, the PS3 had a very big lapse of actual gaming titles for quite some time. So I never really had the urge to buy a PS3. PS4 was different because it obviously had Kingdom Hearts 3 on it and Spider-Man. I would have loved to play Spider-Man. Like, I would have loved to play that. And there were some other games that I would have liked to try out. And I was never interested in Xbox, so there was only like one or two titles, but most of them were also on Sony, so it was always about more of the PlayStation for me. But, and even with the PS4 and now the PS5, there are some games that I know I would enjoy on it, but I never felt it was enough to justify. But then when I see some of the titles that I know could work on the Switch, even if in a slightly lesser state, and yeah, I see people saying, oh, well, we can't bring that over to them. That kind of ticks me off. And the biggest one is the one that Will knows what I'm thinking about. It's Persona 5. You can't tell me that that game would not work on the Switch when we have something like Astral Chain and Bayonetta and Breath of the Wild having, you know, those hyper-realistic styles and, you know, that kind of gameplay. We know it could work on the Switch, and yet they gave us Persona Strikers, which was an epilogue game and not the main game. So you're limiting that. And especially with the success of Persona, you don't think you couldn't get another million or two buyers on the Switch? Especially with all the JRPGs that have done very, very well on the Switch? That's insane. And then the other one is Kingdom Hearts 3. Kingdom Hearts, for years, was sustained on the Nintendo systems, from mainly on the handhelds between Chain of Memories, 358 divided by 2 days, and Dream Drop Distance. Half of the main games are on Nintendo platforms before they did like those collectional remasters for the PlayStation folks because, oh, they it was better just to put them all in one system. And then you put it Kingdom Hearts 3 on Xbox, which never had a Kingdom Hearts game before that, instead of on the Switch, where we would have bought it in droves. And they said, oh, well, we tried to put the Luminous engine on there, but it couldn't work. I might buy that. I might. But I still feel like that was a major lost opportunity, especially to a fan base that, again, for years was helping sustain that franchise through the handheld games. So I don't mind exclusivity in a certain grand sense, because I am fine with certain consoles having like the mascot brands, like the Marios, the Sonics, the Crashes, the Spyros. But with Sonic, Crash, and Spyro, all of those are now multi-platform now, especially exactly. Sonic. Especially Sonic. Mario is different. I can understand why Nintendo wants to protect Mario, but they also put him on the iPad, so, you know, for better or for worse. Right, so, right. Like, I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world to expand. If it's just like one, if each brand had one or two franchises, I'll be fair and say five. Five franchises to say, this is exclusive to us. So Nintendo would have Mario, Zelda, Metroid, Pokemon, and Smash Brothers. Then Sony could, I'll just be generous, say like Crash, Spyro,
God of War.
That's totally a PlayStation thing. Give me another one. See, I'm having trouble thinking about it now. Isn't that kind of telling?
Right, what do you want? You want third-party games or first-party?
No, like first-party. Like the ones that like define the system.
Gran Turismo, God of War, Spider-Man.
No, I won't include Spider-Man. Spider-Man's a Marvel thing. So, but like you say, Gran Turismo. Heck, I'll even give you Kingdom Hearts. I'll even give you that. Because that was
like, I would say Metal Gear, but again, they haven't touched.
Oh, Metal Gear. There you go. Metal Gear. That's a good one too. So yeah, forget Metal Kingdom.
Other platforms as well.
Yeah. So
Bloodborne, Last of Us.
Yeah. Last of Us.
Horizon Zero Dawn.
There you go. Horizon. Yeah. There you go. So, like, the ones that were really born on those consoles to be on those consoles. You know, you can't say Final Fantasy because Final Fantasy started on Nintendo platforms and then went over
to. How many people forget that.
Really? How do you forget that? 1 through 6 was not on PlayStation.
Exclusive to PlayStation. Like, do you know how many times I've sat on my NES playing the original Final Fantasy and then playing all the Final Fantasy on my Super Nintendo? Why are you people forgetting this?
Yeah.
Know your history, folks.
Yeah, exactly. It was 1 through 6 were on Nintendo platforms, and then 7 went to PlayStation because of graphical difficulties and their back behind the stage politics. But and even then, they still brought various, what do you want to call them, spinoffs? Spinoffs of Final Fantasy to other systems. So, yeah. But there are games where I feel if you want to keep them exclusive because of what they mean to your brand, I can understand it to a certain extent. I really can't. But then when I look at something like Persona 5, Kingdom Hearts 3, or so what's another good one? Oh, Spider-Man or Wolverine. You know, I feel like those would do well on the other systems. Would they be as grand, maybe graphically? Probably not. But as Nintendo has happily shown for generations now, graphics aren't everything. If it's good enough graphics but solid gameplay and fun and story, people are going to eat it up. All right, look at WarioWare.
But I think you're getting a little off track is because a lot of the games that you referenced are third-party games, which is something that I have a big problem with is because a lot of third-party games end up becoming platform-exclusive games. Again, Persona as Atlas is not owned by Sony, but majority of those games are on PlayStation platforms. And it's like, could you release them somewhere else, please? That'd be great.
I mean, the only thing
like, held hostage on the PlayStation. There's zero reason why it should be stuck on there.
Agree.
And unfortunately, to be fair as well, the only other Persona game we actually got from Atlas was the Persona Q games, the Etrian Odyssey spinoff. Unfortunately, that's the only actually Persona game that we actually quote unquote got, which is kind of sad from Atlas. But yeah, agreed. We want the main entry, not
don't forget Persona 4 Arena Ultimax. Don't forget that one.
That was 360 and PS3 as well, yeah.
Yeah.
PS3 and Xbox.
Yeah. So, where do you fall on this, Will?
It's definitely, the way that Keith and you laid it out is, like, yeah, regardless of the whole situation for Persona 5 Switch, Persona 5 being on Switch, everyone's been clamoring about, like, yeah, as you said, it clearly worked, but it's just that, again, Sony doesn't want to play. And there's like so many games, and of course, like this whole in this current industry of like this whole company loyalty, this whole tribalism of like, again, I'm always in touch, I'm with Microsoft, I'm with Sony, and of course, like, again, with like, it's never about like just getting that experience, that game experience, because like, I don't know, like, for example, Ori and the Blind Forest, that was originally an Xbox thing, but then it came to the Switch
and did very well.
Like, yeah, and just did very well. And of course, like, recently, for example, Hades was on other platforms and finally came on the Switch, and that thing was dang all good. And I never would have found Hades until like Tyler just was preaching about it. And yeah, I love Hades.
I will take that one out of the topic only because Supergiant Games is a very small company, and they actually even talked about that. There's an interview on our site, thanks to Ryan, where Greg, the creative director of Supergiant Games, explains why it takes so long to get games on different platforms.
Okay, it's not because
you didn't want to get on the Switch, because they were just so small, and it took them forever to get it on PlayStation and Xbox. It was on PC for the longest time.
Okay, fair point. Right, and they had that early access program back on Steam, right? I recall. Yeah, right. So, and I mean, also, and now we're just getting like the many different games like Minecraft. Even Fall Guys is coming to the Switch, even though it was like on PC and PS4. And yeah, like I get it regarding to, I don't know, maybe it's because of a whole business perspective. Again, they want to, like, yes, like, bring in the customers of, like, yes, bring in the God of War, bring in the Mario, bring in the Halo, like, those things. Like, that's why you come to our side. Come to our side. And sure, maybe that's in order to, I don't know, breed that competition in business. I don't know what that is. But as you said, Keith, that when you, again, it's all about the gamers of how, like, just bring games to the world, like with Spider-Man, Last of Us, or Mario. Like, if, as long as, like, people actually get to play these games, like, be it if they are, like, be exclusive or multi-platform, then I think that's best, because, again, you want to have people be exposed to these games, like, because, granted, the exclusivity thing, like, sure, that's a big issue. I feel like I'm not knowledgeable enough, but again, like, Mario's Mario, God of War's God of War, and then Halo Chief is, again, that's synonymous with that brand.
Right.
But when you are something that's like that has that worldwide appeal, like, I don't know, again, like Bayonetta or like something that just has that
worldwide appeal. Like, there you go. There's another game right there.
Yeah, or
remember,
like,
it was
again,
on
with
PlayStation Final 3 and Xbox 360 and
now jumps it's
to the Switch.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And now with like, I don't know, with Final Fantasy, always been known for, again, Nintendo PS4, now actually with on 360 for a while time being. So yeah, like Final Fantasy now being that multi platform license that everyone knows about now. So it's just really like, you want to have people play these games no matter what they are. And I agree, like, if there's a game that really deserves that exposure, be it AAA like Final Fantasy, or even small time like with Hades of Fall Guys, like, or heck, I'll even argue like that game company's Journey. Like, I would love people to play Journey, even though it's like a very short game. I want people to play that game wherever, what platform you are. So like, I guess in my perspective, what my opinion is, that I just want people to play more games that, like, that do deserves more attention. Like, obviously with indie titles, like, they are definitely, it's hard to make with all different platforms, but I'm supporting that. Yeah, if the games do deserve attention, they should get attention no matter what platform you are. So I guess the whole exclusivity thing, unless it's like really synonymous with the company, really is not necessary, I feel like. Yeah.
And obviously this is an issue that, let's be honest, is not going to be solved very easily, if at all, because especially with how everything is right now with sales, you know, going through the roof, especially with PlayStation 5 and the Switch, you know, in their eyes, if it ain't broke, you don't fix it. If it prints money, you know, you keep doing stuff like that, which is what I was actually telling Keith before which actually got started this conversation, because I noted that with the success of the Spider-Man game from Insomniac, of course Marvel was going to say, hey, what do you want to do next? And they go, apparently, hey, let's make Wolverine. And, you know, that's rewarding good stuff. So, but that's also the problem again, is that, you know, it's locked to one system now versus it could be everywhere and getting a lot of more gamers' attention. So, yeah, it's a big all-encompassing thing.
I mean, it really stinks at the end of the day that people who want to play Wolverine will have to get a PlayStation 5 to play the game. And maybe some people can afford it. I mean, there's so many different variables here. And at the end of the day, you're going to have people to go, oh, too bad, noob. If you don't have a PlayStation, you can't get it over here. And that's the wrong mentality. That is terrible. I mean, granted, Insomniac Games should be rewarded for doing an amazing job, Spider-Man.
Absolutely.
Easily one of the best Superman, wow.
Superman games! Superman game!
They should have tackled Superman. If any company can do it, it'd probably be Insomniac. And they probably were like, yeah, no, that's setting us up for failure. Well, let's not do that. But they pretty much have the entire catalog of Disney, Marvel superheroes to play with now. Because it's how well they did with Spider-Man. And they probably went, we want Wolverine. Okay, great, there you go. But this game better be gory, because if it's not, it's not a Wolverine game.
Yeah. And I know some people are saying, well, wait a minute, you know, Nintendo Switch got Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 exclusively, and I'm like, yeah, they did! And it sold well. It sold over a million copies on this thing, but you're going to tell me that...
That also made me mad. That also made me mad, because the first two Ultimate Alliance games were on multiple platforms.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. And if for that title exclusively, especially, I truly believe that if it was on all systems, you know, it would have only had like a slight graphical update because of, you know, the visual style they were going for. You know, I bet you it would have sold, you know, at least a million on each console, because, you know, especially now, everyone's a Marvel fan, you know, on some level. And they go, oh, yeah, I remember these games from before. Everybody would have played it. So, he's like, I'm right there with you. That was one exclusive to Nintendo, and I was thrilled it was going to be on the Switch. But, you know, looking back, I acknowledge it probably should have been multi-platform. Or at the very least, a timed exclusive, at best.
Yeah, at best. That should have been a thing.
Which we see all the time with indie games. Like, oh, yeah, this is a timed exclusive. Okay. That's fine. They get it first, and then, hey, I'll let them review it, see what it's like, and then if they say good word of mouth, I'll get it when it comes out of my system. All kinds of gamers will be okay with that. So, yeah.
Unfortunately, at the end of the day, it is what it is. Again, that is just the way the industry is going. I don't agree with everything, but at the same time, I don't also agree with the horse blinders on gamers nowadays with the whole brand loyalty. So, I mean, there's just so many things here that's going the wrong way. Again, I know this all started with Somniac Games getting Wolverine, and I applaud them. They did an amazing job with Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
A super amazing job. And they have not one, but two upcoming superhero games.
Yep.
Great job.
Yeah, I mean... You should be rewarded for doing good, like every single time. You absolutely should. Like, that's actually one of the things I was happy about with Retro is, you know, after they did Metroid, they went and did Donkey Kong, and it was good. They made two really awesome Donkey Kong games. Like, me and Tyler were like, why didn't they make a third? And we never really got that answer, but now they're making Metroid again, and that's fine. But I hope that if Metroid Prime 4 is as good as we all hope it is, Nintendo goes, hey guys, thanks for bailing us out. What franchise do you want next? And they're going to say F-Zero, Keith. They're going to say F-Zero, Keith.
I don't care.
Yeah, you guys.
I don't care.
Yeah, you guys all timestamp that at home. And then when F-Zero gets announced next year's E3, nope. He's going to be like, I believe!
Nope,
I believe again!
Nope. Nothing's going to make me a believer again. I'm done. Again, I'm tired of being jerked around. Done.
I mean, yeah, it's good to again keep expectations. But again, we had Miracle stories like so. Again, remember, we no one expected Final Fantasy VII Remake until after many years.
We're never
going to
get
an F-Zero
game until Mario Kart dies, and we know that ain't happening. So just give up. Am I wrong?
I mean, I find it interesting that they haven't announced Mario Kart 9. I mean, I know 8 Deluxe is absolutely killing it in sales, and that, you know, that's fine, but. You know, I'm really surprised that at this point we don't have 9. Are they just, like, refining it to an nth level of degree to make sure it's better than 8? I don't really know.
We don't need to because we got 8. 8 still kicking butt. Why do we need another game? You know?
True. So, we'll just have to wait and see on that one. And with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler! Tyler! Dang it, he still hasn't got an international lineup. Fine! We also didn't have a poll question last week. I'm just joking with you there. But do let us know what you think on this debate of exclusivity versus being for everybody. Where do you weigh? Do you think it's okay that, you know, a few franchises are exclusive? Do you agree that there needs to be more, what do we call it, multi-platform games out there, especially the ones that are from third parties? What's one game right now that you'd absolutely want to see on another platform, and why is it Persona 5 on Switch? Let us know. And of course, let us know about all the Pokemon news, and we actually forgot to mention Pokemon Secrets of the Jungle is going to be coming out on Netflix in October, so that's something to look forward to. The first trailer is up. We have it on the website. Are you going to get WarioWare Get It Together? Are you more excited for Shin Megami Tensei 5 with all of these trailers? And do you want the pita chicken? That just sounds weird. Pita chicken? That sounds like an actual thing I want to eat. You know, pita bread, pita chicken. It's right there. Okay. Or do you want the pita chicken in Smash? And if you do, stop it. Get some help. So for Wario Will and King Koopa Kid, I am Triforce Todd. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We made it to the end of the level. So raise the flag.